What's up, Conference USA fans? Welcome into another episode of CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm your host, Josh Yonas, back in the hosting seat this week. Don't have a whole lot to talk about. It's honestly kind of quiet right now. Still got some diamond sports going on. We're wrapping up the bowling national championships and just on the eve of our big sports spring sports championship season. But to join me for probably a brief-ish episode, we have Eric Jones coming back on the podcast. Eric, how are you doing?
Doing good. We are 4 weeks through in baseball season now in conference play. We're almost at the halfway point, which is crazy. I know overall we're already at the halfway point, but yeah, it's been a good weekend of baseball this past weekend and another good one on tap this weekend.
Yeah, and guest-wise this week, we've got Liberty ace Ben Blair, who you got a chance to talk with, so really excited for you guys to hear that conversation later on. We're going to start with, as I mentioned at the top of the show, Bowling National Championship. We had regionals this past weekend. The finals of the NC Bowling Championships are in Parma Heights, Ohio, this upcoming weekend. So four CUSA teams for the second year in a row are headed to the championship finals. We have top seed Jack State, number two Vanderbilt, number three Arkansas State, and Wichita State, who we had kind of talked about being a dark horse team in the regionals last week, and sure enough did some surprising things. But starting at the top here, Gamecocks swept through the Lansing regional, pair wins over NCA&T to punch their ticket. Vandy topped Maryville, who advanced out of the opening match in their regional. They beat them 2-1 in the final. Arkansas State had to beat Conference USA foe Nebraska twice to claim the Pittsburgh regional title. And then again, Wichita State shocked, like that, the Arlington regional field, rebounding from a 2-1 loss in their first match against Newman, had to win three straight matches against Bryant, Newman, and number four seed Louisiana Tech to punch the final ticket to Cleveland. Forced an if necessary match with a 2-1 win over Louisiana Tech, and then claimed the best of seven tiebreaker 4-0. I mean, they left no doubt in that one to send the Bulldogs packing. But so again, Jack State, Vanderbilt, Arkansas State, and Wichita State will square off for the Bowling National Championship in Parma Heights, Ohio, April 10th to 11th. Championship will be played in a best of seven Baker match format, and that'll all be available on NCAA.com. So our communications assistant, Elizabeth Kanzeg, who is on here to preview regional, she'll be headed up there for the Final Four in bowling. So a Cleveland or an Ohio native, and her family's in that area. So she was lucky enough to get the chance to go up there, go see some Conference USA team, not sure which one of the four, be crowned national champions for the third straight year in as many years of us sponsoring the sport. So continuing our amazing run there. But switching over to our diamond sports, I'll go ahead and start off with softball, let you kind of chip in on what's going on in baseball before we get to our interview with Ben. So last week we had a really huge series between WKU and Sam Houston, one that I kind of previewed as my series to watch. I was right in it being the series to watch. I was kind of wrong in my X factor. I mentioned how good the pitching was on both sides in this matchup. I was right on one team, not so much the other. WKU kind of got a surprising sweep over the Bearcats over the weekend. Erica Haug and Ryland Smith for the Tops combined to go 3-0 with a 1.47 ERA, 13 strikeouts, only four walks in 19 innings pitched. And then the Tops lineup was unbelievable in this series. Hit 405 as a team, seven home runs in three games. Sam Houston had only allowed 10 home runs in their previous 12 conference games. So something that, yeah, they were, their pitching staff was not prone to giving up a lot of, and WKU certainly teed off on them. But monster series for Macy Master. She was 5-for-7. Two home runs and four RBIs in a big win as part of their doubleheader on Thursday. Kennedy Stinson went 4-for-9, four RBIs, a home run, and a pair of doubles. And then Annie White joined in on the fun. She had four RBIs, a big three-run homer to kind of blow it open in the series opener. So WKU now in a tie for second with Liberty. I'll get to more of both of those teams here in a bit. Jack State still at the top in softball, 13-2 in league play. McKenna Moore had a pair of complete game wins for them to help them get a series win over New Mexico State. Dropped the middle game in that series. They kind of figured, you know, with the potency of New Mexico State's lineup going against, you know, the Jack State's number two pitcher and Jaleah Holmes, kind of, you know, maybe expected that was the game if they were going to steal one, that it would be that one. But I mean, you look at this Aggies lineup, you know, they lead the league in runs and rank third in batting average in league play. And McKenna Moore, you know, that was kind of part of our defense in her winning pitcher of the week this week is, you know, she faced such an incredible lineup. Her numbers weren't perfect by any means, but she still had 13 strikeouts, 14 innings, had a sub one whip. Held the Aggies to a 154 batting average over the weekend, so which is a very obviously uncharacteristic of them. And Jack State's an interesting team to me because, and someone pointed this out on Twitter, and then I was like, well, yeah, you know, I know they've had a lot of big series early on in conference play. They played four of the next six teams behind them in the standings. Wow. Their last four series, they play Kennesaw State, who's 3-12, Missouri State, who's 5-10, Middle Tennessee, who's 4-11, and then their lone remaining series against a team with a winning record in conference play right now is Sam Houston, who's just a couple games over 500 at 9-6. So certainly a favorable path. I'm not going to say an easy path by any means, but a favorable path to them trying to clinch a regular season championship for the first time in Conference USA and getting a coveted top seed in that tournament. So elsewhere around the league over the weekend, Liberty bounced back from an opening loss in their series against Missouri State, outscored the Bears 15-1 in a Friday doubleheader. Really great recovery for them to pick up another series win. Again, they're tied in that second place spot right now at 11-4 in league play. FIU and Delaware picked up some pretty big sweeps over the weekend to both move over 500 at 8-7. Obviously, a little selfishly for us in the league office, we're hoping Delaware makes the tournament as the tournament host because there's nothing worse than your tournament host not even playing in it. So they're certainly, moving in the right direction right now. But series of the week for me, kind of talked about this a little bit ago, WKU at Liberty, a massive series coming up this weekend, both 11-4 in CUSA jockeying for sole possession of second place as we get, we're a month, this will come out on Wednesday. So when you guys are listening to it, we'll be a month away from the opening day of the CUSA softball championship, which is crazy to think about. So coming up on these last four series, some of these big wins here are going to play a vital role in, again, just seeding, especially when, again, I made this comment about Jack State trying to get that number one seed. The top two teams are the ones that get that bye to the second round. And so the two of these teams are looking at that spot, you know, fighting for it like that. That could make the difference in, you know, how difficult your road is at the conference tournament. You kind of look at some of the other numbers here. Liberty 7-9 at home, which I had to go back because I'm like, I know that obviously everyone's better at home. I know they've been extremely dominant at home. The last time they lost 10 games in a season at home, 2015. Had to go back almost over a decade to see, that, and they still finished, I believe it was like 16-10 or 18-10 that year. Wow. So they were still well over 500. Liberty definitely has some work to do to try and close that number up and get over the 500 mark. Looking at these teams, Liberty and WKU, number one and two in the league in batting average, number two and three in ERA in league play. So, I mean, it's really just going to be a battle of, something's got to give here, right? Yeah. Because you've got two of the highest producing hitters, Jenna Blanton for WKU, Bryn McManus, who was our CUSA player of the week, has now won it twice in the last 3 weeks, I believe. So two extremely talented hitters among a number of others. I mentioned Macy Masters earlier. There's plenty of others on both these lineups. And then four pitchers with a sub 250 ERA in league play will throw in this series. When you talk about Erica Haug and Ryland Smith, who I mentioned earlier, for Liberty, Gabby Mike and Camden Anders, who just threw a no hitter most recently. And so lots of stars in CUSA in this series. I'm really excited to see How this one plays out. Again, just a lot of a lot to play for, a lot of star power in this series. You know, looking at the times here, so Friday they'll be at 5 p.m. on ESPN Plus, Saturday 2 p.m. on ESPN Plus, and then Sunday the finale 10 a.m. all these times Central, 10 a.m. Central on ESPN Plus. So a big series there. A couple other games I highlighted here just as part of our midweek slate. Jack State gets an opportunity to pick up a big ACC win at Georgia Tech. I guess I say that this is happening. We're recording on Tuesday. That'll be tonight. So hopefully, well, by the time you're listening to this, it'll have included a Jack State win over Georgia Tech. And then on Wednesday, 2 p.m. Central, Duke is playing, number 16 Duke is playing at Liberty. So again, another big opportunity for them to pick up a home win, something that has not come easy for them this year. But I think kind of as they're starting to build momentum with a lot of these series victories, this could certainly be a turning point for them as they prepare for a big one this weekend. So yeah, that's what we got going on in softball. It's getting, you know, you get to that last month and these games start to mean a whole lot more. Oh, yeah. And you start to see the postseason picture taking shape a little bit. It's fun. It's fun, man.
Yeah, especially these teams that are so close to each other in the standings, right? You got, you know, I'm just looking at baseball right now and you got, I guess what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 teams that are all within one game at 6-6, 5-7. So, I mean, these games, tiebreakers, all that means a whole of a lot right now for some of these teams. So I'm excited to see how that goes. And it sounds like this weekend is the weekend to be in Lynchburg for Diamond Sports.
Right.
And we'll get to that series on the baseball side of things. But, you know, diving on in here, just looking at the standings, you got Jack State 12-0, another series sweep of Middle Tennessee at home this weekend. Friday night, Blue Raiders had them on their heels, that's for sure. Jack State is a resilient ball club. We've seen that over and over again so far in league play. They've been really fun to watch. You look at Liberty, Missouri State, both 9-3. All three of these teams have won 8 out of the last 10 games. Liberty winning 7 in a row. But man, these teams are playing really, really good baseball right now. DBU is 8-4. Haven't lost a series yet, but also haven't swept a series. So you see that 8-4 like doesn't scream, you know, dominant, but they're winning series. They're stacking series up right now. But I got to talk about Missouri State and the week that they had. Tuesday night, I can't tell you how many people I'd heard from and talked to about this game. Had the chance to host number 17 Arkansas. As we know, Arkansas never really is number 17. They always seem to they're a top 5 team in the country. But what a game. What a seesaw battle that they had. Hammonds Field was obviously playing offensive that night. It does a lot of the time, but you know, Missouri State was never out of it. I think they're up 6-1 early on, third, fourth inning. Arkansas put up a 6 spot to take the lead. And from that point on, it was just back and forth, back and forth. Hit a clutch 2-run shot in the 9th to tie it. And then our hitter of the week, Caden Bogenpohl, with the first pitch of the 10th, sending it over the left center field wall. Electric. I know that ballpark was going crazy. Oh, yeah. It was really fun to see them get that big win. And, you know, after they go on to sweep Sam Houston this weekend in dominant fashion. I think they scored 10-plus runs. Oh, they had 9 in the opener, but 15 and then 12 in the finale. Just dominant performance by the offense. They are 15-0 at home this season. A program record once they got to the 14-win mark at home there. Certainly special things happening with Missouri State right now. Our top RPI team, I think they're sitting at 11. They've been around 9, 10, 11 in that general area, but obviously in a good spot to put them in an at-large conversation, you know, down the stretch here as we go. But got to talk about these Jack State and Liberty now. These two are getting to face off this weekend. We talk with Ben Blair here later in the show, but, you know, this is going to be, especially Friday night, he got arguably two of the best pitchers in the league right now. I know Pillsbury going for the Gamecocks most likely Friday night. Ben Blair, obviously Friday night guy. Pillsbury got banged up a little bit last weekend against Middle Tennessee, but I know he's ready to bounce back. He's had multiple, 10, 12 strikeout performances. He's gone deep in games. He's an established guy, and this is going to be really fun to watch because it's two teams that are obviously tops of the league in pitching. ERAs, strikeout to walk, all those categories. But they're also teams that when they're down, they're finding ways to come back, even if they're not pretty. Liberty had some big comeback wins at WKU this past weekend. Obviously, Jack State did the same. So, it's going to be really fun pitching-wise, but when a team gets down, don't count them out at all. I think it's going to be really interesting to see which team battles and can take this series. I think you take Jack State, obviously, wants to keep the undefeated streak going, but for them, you take two games on the road this weekend, you got to be going home happy because that really separates themselves right at the top there. So certainly excited to see how that series goes this weekend. And then want to talk about this past weekend, the Dallas Baptist Kennesaw State series. We saw all sorts of fireworks. DBU taking the first two games of the series. Ryan Martin, I know he had a big home run. Guys like Luke Pettit are stepping up right now and he was a pitcher his first seasons as a Patriot, and now I know coming off the surgery and he's having to hit now, I think at the top of the order too, has really produced for this ball club. So big for them to go on the road and get two wins. And that Saturday game, the finale, with Coach Co getting ejected and Kennesaw scoring, five straight runs to salvage a game. That was a huge game for them to take. That would put them at 5-7 if they don't win that. They're now at 6-6, right at 500. So certainly a fun series that was. But if I had to pick a weekend series this weekend, it's got to be the Jack State Liberty one. That was such a fun two teams that have been really fun to watch. They will play. Sorry, here we go. 5:00 Central Time, I guess Eastern Time, 6:00 in Lynchburg. 3 Eastern in Lynchburg on Saturday on ESPN+, and then Sunday the finale will be at 1:00 Eastern. All three of those games, must-watch TV. I will be tuned in for sure. But that's really all I got on the baseball side. We got some good midweeks coming up as well. Kennesaw State's going across the road over to Georgia Tech for a big ACC opponent there. Liberty going on the road to Virginia Tech. FIU's got Miami. Missouri State's at Mizzou. Sam Houston's hosting U of H. So some big matchups. Jack State also going on the road to Auburn. So another SEC, a chance for them to beat an SEC opponent. They've come up short twice to Alabama, both by a run, which is tough, but they're obviously in those games and they're battling hard. So, excited to see how this week of baseball goes.
Nice. Yeah, lots of good opportunities, even out of conference, which has been great. I know that, you mentioned a couple of the RPI ranks there. Lots of teams really well positioned for some potential at-large berths or even, for those, whoever is our AQ and whoever gets in, certainly get some good seating, some good good locations there.
Sure.
I know for the softball side, I feel like I've gone without mentioning this the last few weeks when we've been highlighting it. We got 7 CUSA teams in the top 100 in the RPI rankings. Jack State sitting at 32. So again, a team that, if there's some surprises at the conference tournament, they are in a very good position. The one thing that jumps out to me too, I mentioned, how many series they've played against the top teams in CUSA this year. They're 19-7 against top 100 teams in the RPI. So, they are aptly ranked for how well they performed in those big games. You look at those 7 losses, a lot of midweek losses to ACC, SEC foes, the 2 losses in league play, which have still come against some really quality opponents. So, really excited to see how the last month or so of both these seasons go, how postseason goes. I think the CUSA baseball tournament from hearing about it from you, it's going to be when you get to, the Friday and Saturday games are going to start to get real electric when you get rematches of the DBUs, the Missouri States, the Liberties, the Jack States. Yeah, all these teams that are just now kind of finding a way to, just now finding out about each other in these weekend series. But things are going to look a whole lot different come mid to end of May. So, I'm excited for, the conference tournament time, regionals, all that stuff. It's such an awesome time of year and makes those heavyweight bout kind of games are just really exciting. So so that's what's going on in Diamond Sports across CUSA. Again, we're joined by Liberty pitcher Ben Blair for our interview segment here, and then we'll see you on the other side to close it out.
We are now joined by CUSA preseason pitcher of the year and three-time CUSA pitcher of the week, Liberty right-hander and ace Ben Blair. Ben, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you guys for having me.
For sure. All right. You look at your numbers through eight starts here. You got a 1.46 ERA, 67 strikeouts. That's top of the league, near the tops in the nation as well. What so far has been clicking for you this season on Friday nights?
Yeah, I'd say it's really just attacking the strike zone, just trying to get ahead on guys, because whenever you're throwing a lot of strikes, that's how you ultimately end up getting strikeouts, because you got to get to 0-2, and then once you're at 0-2, you can let yourself play. But yeah, just throwing a ton of strikes, just trying to get ahead on guys, not let them get to advantage counts where they can do damage, has really been the big key for me.
I like it. So third year at Liberty, in a day and age where, you know, transferring is happening all around us, what has Liberty meant to you, and how have you seen yourself grow on and off the field?
Yeah, it's been amazing. Obviously, Liberty's known for the Christian aspect, and that's huge for me. I'm big in my faith, big follower of Jesus, and really it's been huge. Like, whenever the season is over, you know, people are entering the portal, I really never even thought about leaving, you know, just because it's home. I'm from around here, and I knew I could do everything I wanted to do here and still play professional baseball, and I wanted to win with these guys, and I wouldn't want to win anywhere else. So
that's awesome. So I had the pleasure of watching you a couple weeks ago at Kennesaw State. Made a trip out there on Friday night, and after watching you pitch this year, I've noticed a level of confidence and even emotion at times. So talk about your mental side and approach to the game at the collegiate level, especially, because I know it's a very real thing.
Yeah, I just try to – you got to have confidence. You got to think you're the best on the field at all times. That's how you – especially if you're going to try to throw strikes like I do, you can't be worried about if they're going to hit it or not, because if you're throwing strikes, guys are going to put the ball in play. So, yeah, you have to have confidence. And the emotion, a lot of that just comes from, like, just how much it means to me. You know, like, this is a big season for us, big season for me, and I'm just trying to go out there and give it my best.
One thing that definitely stuck out to me was your ability to maintain your velocity and even your stuff throughout the course of a long outing like that. How did this offseason compare to your previous offseasons really prepare you and jumpstart you this season?
Yeah, I'd say this offseason I put a huge priority on. I didn't go and play summer ball or anything like that. I put a big priority on just getting my body right, getting stronger, just because we felt like, talked to the coaches, like coming to this season, like during the offseason, like where I got better wasn't, I didn't need more reps on the mound, more pitching experience. I needed to just get stronger, perfect my body, and just make sure I can hold the velo over starts and make sure that the stuff is still the same at the end of the season as it is at the beginning. So.
That's awesome. So I actually remember 2 years ago in Ruston, the Conference USA tournament, got to see you throw as a freshman, I believe out of the bullpen, and knew that your stuff looked electric. I was like, this guy's going to be legit. But now in year three, with some hitters and schools who have seen you multiple times over the years, how have you kind of stayed one step ahead when facing teams over the last few years?
Yeah, I'd say it's just been getting a little bit better each year, not staying stagnant, not being complacent with if I thought I was good as a freshman, like I knew I could always get better, and just never thinking I'm a finished product, always knowing that I can always get better. And even though I have a level of confidence, having some humility to know that there's others out there that could be better. And so I got to work every day to get better and better myself.
So obviously, you know, we talked about how dominant you've been so far this year. Have you had an outing where you may not have had your best stuff, and kind of how did you persevere and get the job done?
Yeah, I'd say the second start of the season, you know, you have the first start, you're all hyped up on adrenaline and everything, and then coming out the second week and you got to do it again. And we played a good team in West Virginia, and I think I went like 4 1/3, 3 earned runs, but not a lot of damage, but just I wouldn't say I didn't have my slider for strikes that day, so it was a little bit tougher. I wasn't throwing the cutter for strikes yet then early in the season. And I really didn't have a strikeout pitch. Like, I'd get these guys to 0-2 and they're a good hitting team. They'd foul everything off. So I'd have to throw more pitches. And then when they're put it in play, they found some holes in the shift and stuff like that. And then just some jam shot, like shift beaters, you know. And then, yeah, just they ended up getting singles, which ended up getting them some runs. And it wasn't a terrible outing, but it was one of those that, like, I realized I needed to have all five pitches for strikes in order to be effective.
For sure. And sometimes those outings are what you want to have early on in the year. I know y'all face a rigorous non-conference schedule, and even on the midweeks too, that prepares y'all for a good conference slate. But let's talk about the team a little bit. Y'all 22-9 overall, sitting in second place right now, in a tie at 9-3 in league play. What feels different about this year's team?
Yeah, I think there's just a little bit more of a competitive edge to this squad this year. I think we were good last year, but we were a lot better not in conference. And then whenever we got in conference, we kind of got shell-shocked by how hard the other teams were playing against us. And we really didn't have that grit to punch back. And it was tough because we went like 7-3 in the ACC, beat all these ACC teams, ranked teams. And then we'd come on the weekend and lose to teams in our conference, and we'd get – I don't know. We didn't know how to handle it, and so we never really picked it back up. But this year, like, a lot of these guys have been through that, experienced that, and now we're ready to – we know how important the conference play is also.
No doubt. So I want to give your teammate, Bradley Sayak, a shout-out as well. He's been just as dominant almost, closing out series on Sundays for the most part. What's y'all's relationship been like?
No, he's great. He asked me a ton of questions. He's a funny guy, and he's really competitive. He knows what he's doing, and he has a really good mindset, especially pitching on Sundays. I've told him before, like, it's tough because you're either playing against a team that's trying to sweep you, trying not to get swept, or they're trying to win the series. So you're getting every team's best bullet. They're coming out ready to play. And so he's just got that level of competitiveness and grit that he's been able to do really well for us. It's important to win the series when you've got – and you got him going on Sundays. It's always big.
No doubt. I mean, all three games are obviously very important, but I think those first ones setting the tone, and then him closing it out has been a great duo from y'all all season. It's been really fun to watch. All right, so let's talk about the coming up weekend. 12-0 Jack State. They're doing historic things down there. They're coming to town with a veteran-heavy lineup and a top pitching staff as well. How pumped are you to go to battle with these guys on Friday night?
Yeah, it's gonna be awesome. You know, you want to play against the best when you want to be the best. So in order to be the best, you gotta beat the best. So we want to play against them, and they're a good team. We know that, but we know that we're a good team also, and we're motivated, and we're all really excited for the challenge.
In a series like this, how much do you kind of embrace the moment versus treating it like any other start?
I think you gotta almost just treat it like any other start. I'm sure on Friday I'll have a little bit more juice just naturally. Sure, you know, your body knows it's a big game. So, but you don't want to like make it bigger than it is and come out there trying to do too much. I got to keep doing what's been working all season. And so I need to stay with them myself.
Well, we got possibly the pitching matchup of the year, Friday night. Do you know much about Eli Pillsbury? I mean, he's been, you know, obviously a southpaw, kind of new to the league this year, but, he's been really good. Do you know much about him?
I know he's been shoving. I don't know. I don't know too much about him. I know that they've got three good starters, and
yeah,
I know that he's been having a really good year, so it'll be fun.
Well, it's certainly going to be a good one to watch. You know, what kind of key early in that kind of game do you want to set the tone?
Yeah, just continue to throw strikes, really. Just coming out, making sure I'm getting ahead, attacking guys, just making sure I've got my good stuff, and I'm just going to try to do that and just get ahead in counts.
Well, just a few more fun questions here. We always like to ask our guests, especially student athletes, is there any player, pitcher, it could be a hitter as well, but that you like to mold your game off of, or that you just have grown up loving to watch?
Yeah, I'd say it's tough just because, like, the way I pitch is, like, kind of unique, like the arm slot and everything and the way I fire. So there haven't been too many guys, like, where I look and I'm like, oh, that guy, like, looks like me. But I'd say growing up, like watching, I'm a Nationals fan, so I've been watching a lot of Max Scherzer when I was growing up, some Steven Strasburg, those guys. So just seeing Mad Max pitch was pretty cool, especially whenever he pitched in Game 7 of that World Series. They won. That was a big moment for me.
Yeah, that was special. We're most of us here are Rangers fans. So I know he got to come down here for 2023 and win us a World Series as well, or help us win a World Series as well. And we certainly loved watching him beat Houston down there. So that was awesome. I have actually been to Lynchburg, I think, 6 times now, been a number of times since y'all have joined the league. Is there a certain restaurant that you have to pick that you love to eat at? If someone's come for the first time, where would you kind of show someone where to go?
That's a tough one. I mean, right on Ward's Road, you've got all like the name brands. You got the Texas House, Buffalo Wild Wings stuff. But downtown, there's a couple places like there's a place called Bootleggers. It's pretty good downtown. Some more places downtown. I don't go downtown too much, but that's where like all of the non-name brand restaurants are, a lot of them.
There you go. Yeah, I know there's some great stuff down there. Lastly, what does this Liberty fan base mean to you? And if you had any message for the fans, what would you have to say?
Yeah, they mean everything. They support us a ton, and Liberty really cares about their sports. You could tell whenever you could just see what they put in the facilities, and it's amazing. And just the only message to them is just keep coming out, and we'll try to keep winning for you.
There you go. All right, Ben. Well, appreciate you coming on this morning. Good luck the rest of the way, and good luck Friday night. We'll be watching for sure.
Thank you.
Thanks so much to Ben Blair for taking time out of his busy schedule, prepping for a big midweek and a big series this weekend to talk with Eric on the pod. Great to hear from him about just his personal growth and what's going well for the Flames this season. But appreciate you hopping on for another episode of CUSA Insider. As always, you can find us on Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. And then please hop on to YouTube to watch our video versions of the podcast. You can go to Conference USA on YouTube and find our playlist there with all of our podcast episodes. So again, appreciate you guys joining us. This has been another episode of CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm Josh Jonas, signing off.